The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You are listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. This is a hot take or random question episode. We don't know how it's going to go. And truth be told, I didn't know today was an off day until about 10 a.m. this morning. So that's how we're getting started. I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Jeremy Schilling, Chris Felico. How are you, fine men?
Surviving.
We're alive.
Just like the Red Sox.
Barely.
Yeah, and I don't know if Yordan Alvarez blew out his ACL or what, but he just got off the injured list. Then he hurt himself. Astros are like collapsing right now, like right before our eyes. Seattle has the division lead, and then the Rangers were one game behind them, 2-0 last I checked. This is going to be a wild race to the finish, however it ends up.
For sure. The thing that blew my mind is Skubal. We see the highlight, and I think it's a lad. It's serious, done for the year. And then there's an announcement 12 hours later, he's going to make his next scheduled start. It's just the sort of luck that either we don't get, or for whatever reason, that's not the result of those things when the Red Sox get nicked up. Detroit is extremely lucky right now if he does start in a couple of days.
Yeah, I said the same thing. It's tough because it seems like anything that happens to us, it's always the extreme on a negative. And I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, well, Skubal's done for the year. And they're like, no, he's just out for 10 minutes. Just ice it up and he'll be back for the next start. But, to what you were saying, Terry, it kind of snuck up on even me. I didn't realize that the Mariners had passed the Astros until like late watching Sunday Night Baseball yesterday. Had no idea that they had the division lead, because it seemed like 24 hours before that, the Astros were still in first, and then the Mariners and the Rangers were right behind us looking to jump us for the second wild card and then knock us out of the third. So it's going to be an absolute insane finish down the stretch.
I think so. With Skubal, I think that was just precautionary. I mean, they could easily just rest him for the rest of the year and not really have a ton to worry about. I know the Mariners are a few games behind him, so I guess maybe it wouldn't be super ideal, but I don't think it really jeopardizes a playoff run. And he's in a dogfight right now with Garrett Crochet for Cy Young. So we'll see how it goes. Charlie seems to think Crochet's got it. He's like, oh, yeah, Crochet's got it. I think Skubal has it.
That's what I think, too. I haven't checked in a week, but last I checked, Skubal was still the Vegas favorite to win it, which is, to me, pretty telling. But there's still two starts left, and if Skubal doesn't come back from the injury and pitch well, and Crochet does, I think it's still up in the air.
I mean, if one of them gets lit up, it could shift it.
Yeah, I've thought Skubal is the front runner prior to the injury, and honestly, even if he had gotten hurt and not pitched, if Crochet keeps giving up home runs and giving up 2, 3, 4 runs every start, which is kind of a little bit of a trend, it doesn't put him in the most favorable position to win it, regardless of what happens with Skubal.
Myers Pliers in the stream says, Chris Sale could never. I had an epiphany when I read that. We're getting Chris Sale this winter. Like, Breslau's going to try to right the wrong of the winter before last. Couldn't you see that? And then he's out for the season by May 15th.
I cannot see that. I assume you're just stoking the fire, Terry, because to me that is that's wild. You're going to get him at the absolute end of the career while you had to pay half his money while he pitched for Atlanta. Like that's just such a bad look. If that happens, I will just ether Breslow and anybody else involved.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could say I wouldn't be shocked, but I hope it doesn't happen. But I've seen crazier things with this team.
I mean, I was being a little bit facetious, but I could see him being the discount guy. I wouldn't rule anything out with these clowns. But yeah, so the Rangers have tied it up with Houston. Yankees losing by 2 to the lowly Twins. And even the Toronto Blue Jays are losing 1-0 to Tampa, who has lost a ton of games in the last week and a half.
Potential to break right tonight for the Sox. All three will come back.
Yeah, so Jim on Twitter, at Ringo1256, Willier comes back on fire. Okay, define fire, because I think hitting 230 right now with a 300 on base and 2 home runs a week would be like lighting it up.
When he says coming back on fire, like I was actually imagining him literally coming up in flames, because that's the Red Sox luck right now at this point. Nothing seems to be going right for us. So someone coming out of the dugout literally lit up wouldn't shock me at this point. But I think if Abreu comes back and is able to even go on a hot streak, all jokes aside, that would be great. But am I counting on it at this point? No. There's a part of me that almost wants me to see him come and not necessarily struggle, but just kind of just put together reps and then maybe get hot as we get to the beginning of the playoffs, because we know he's going to get hot streak and then he's going to be immediately cold. It's going to take a month to get back. And more than likely, once he hits that hot streak, we're not going to see another one because our season's probably over by then.
When's he expected back? Has that been announced?
This week sometime.
Yeah, I don't expect much. I expect plus defense if he's healthy, because that's who he is. I don't expect him. I assume there's no rehab. I mean, assuming he doesn't have at-bats against live pitching, what can you expect from a guy? He's been out long enough where if his injury prevented normal swings, live batting practice, he's not going to come back. He might have a game here or a game there, but I don't think you're going to find consistency from a guy who hasn't had at-bats in weeks. So, I mean, you got to put him in the lineup because he's one of your best players, but I don't expect much at all.
Well, let's say you put him at DH instead of Yoshida. I mean, that's a net positive. I mean, he's got an elite glove, so it'd be goofy to put him there. But maybe if you're worried about a reoccurrence of the injury, then I guess it could make sense.
Yeah, I mean, if part of him coming back is he has a limitation where defensively he could re-aggravate the injury, then fine. Using Yoshida is the cheapest out, Terry. He's just god-awful, an automatic out. I'll tell you this. I was thinking last night during the at-bat where Yoshida hit a sac fly to center in the first. I can't imagine he's on the postseason roster. Assuming we get there, which maybe is not a safe assumption. I'm sure Chris has plenty to say about that, but I don't know if you're bringing back a player, it's this late in the season. It should be all systems go from anybody that's available. I think he should be out there and doing what he does best, which is play gold glove right field.
Yeah. I mean, I like what Jules said, expect nothing. Because I mean, that's really
kinda what I said.
Huh?
I said, it's kind of what I said.
Well, yeah, you said it in a lot more words than just except. But it's the truth. I mean, I really have gotten to the point where I've expected nothing. And as far as Yoshida, isn't it amazing? Yoshida was actually able to put together some good at-bats yesterday when the game seemed like it was out of hand. As soon as that game got close, he went right back to sucking. Terrible at-bats, couldn't buy a hit if he had $1 million in his pocket, which he has more than that because we were dumb enough to pay him a lot more than that. But yeah.
What about him being on the playoff roster? Do you see that happening, Chris?
That's what I was going to say. I hope not. I hope he's not. But, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen between now and then. We could have more injuries that force it at this point. mean, I hate to be morbid, but I mean, that's Chris. A possibility.
Well, Romy gets hurt every now and then, and you just never know. But
can't lose Romy.
So with this Oakland series, suddenly the pitching looks a lot better because of the off day. So you're going to have Giolito. Well, actually, you will, but you're going to have actually the kid from last week, Connolly Early. Yeah, going in game one, then Lucas Giolito, then Brian Baio. So suddenly extremely favorable. Now, Oakland wasn't hitting lefties very well, and they're only going to face one in Early, and then they'll get two righties with Giolito and Baio. So suddenly that series is looking pretty good. Tampa's lost a ton of games, and then you have Toronto and Detroit next week to wrap it all up. So put a percentage chance that the Red Sox are in the playoffs.
Ooh, I like this. I'm going to go. Oh, they've broken me. They've broken me. I'm going to say 68.5%. More likely than not. Significantly more likely than not.
Geez, that's even more morbid than me, Jeremy. I was going to say a solid 70.
Oh, point and a half better, Chris. Look at you, the optimist.
Point and a half is a point and a half. Yeah, I still think I would say it's a 70% chance because, listen, a lot could still go wrong. I mean, one terrible injury, God forbid, it's like crochet-like. I mean, forget it. I'll pack up their bags for them. But I would say
why do you keep going there? Jesus, now crochet's hurt in your hypothetical world? You're just expecting to be hurt is what this is all about.
Well, what I tell you I don't want to see is I don't want to go to the playoffs, face the Yankees, and get knocked out. I would rather not make the playoffs and see that. Oh,
come on. That's no.
Wait, you'd rather go to the playoffs and watch the Yankees beat us? Or would you rather not make it at all? That's the two options.
No, I'd rather get the playoff experience for the young roster. The result. But, you know, if they fade and fail to get in the playoffs and that's hanging over them for 2026, that's another problem. Absolutely not. You got to get in the playoffs. You got to be put in the moments of high pressure so that they can sink or swim and learn in those moments so that when they get there next year, which is their ascension year or should be, then they're ready for the moment. But to just say you don't want to have your heart broken because they're going to lose to the Yankees in the postseason. Come on, man. And Crochet gets the ball game one, assuming he does. That's I can't subscribe to that mentality. That's banana land to me.
So important note, this new alignment that's just been put out today, starting with Early, Giolito, Baio, that will line up Garrett Crochet for game one. So that's unless something weird happens.
You're saying game one of the wild card
playoffs. Yeah. Garrett Crochet will pitch the first game.
The one thing I will say, Jeremy, is we kind of just watched what that scenario looks like over the weekend. A high pressure, big series. I get it. It's not the playoffs, but I wrote an article about the fact that we literally have now for the last 5 years, I think we've done 4-21 against the Yankees in September. Like that's a pretty insane stat and trend. Now it's tongue in cheek what I'm saying. Obviously I want to make the playoffs because the truth is we could make the playoffs and everything that's happened up till now could not matter because ironically, in that same time span from 2020 to 2025, the one time we played them in October, we beat them in the wild card of 2021. So, yeah, I want to make the playoffs. I want this team to be better. But if I know for sure we're going to lose, I don't know. That's a tough decision for me because, again, I live in New York. It's a little bit different for me.
I don't know, man. I'd love to see Crochet in a postseason start. I'd love to see how he responds in that moment. I doubt it's going to be too big for him, but you never know. You know, obviously Roman Anthony is not going to be there, but, and I'm not going to go through the whole roster, but the amount of people on this roster that haven't played in big September/October games is unbelievable. Essentially the only person that has is Bregman. And I believe Lowe literally and Chapman, literally yeah. Everyone else is desperate for that experience because if the majority of those guys are on the 2016, they're going to benefit. And look, I don't think they're going to go get swept. I mean, obviously this last weekend's you know, the optics are, you know, closer than the other games we played against the Yankees this year. And I do think it was a higher pressured series, and I don't love the way they responded, to be honest with you, except for the third game. So, but that's why they play them, man. Let's go get in there, mix it up, and see what happens. Heaven forbid we go win the series and now we're still alive.
You forgot Steven Matz has also playoff experience.
That's true.
Can't forget about him. He's been such a pivotal part of this team.
Yeah, he got pulled in game seven of the World Series that year. Joe Maddon pulled him, I think. Or was that Matz? No, I'm thinking of Hendricks. My bad. Okay. I got my National League team.
But Terry, what percentage do you think as far as
I'm gonna bring up the rear here and I'm gonna say 58%.
Jesus.
Yeah. We'll see. If we lose two of these games to Oakland, I don't think we will necessarily. If you lose two, you're in deep crap, I think. And I just had the wild card standings up. Here they are. The Yankees have 83 wins. We have 82. Houston has 81. And then right behind them, you have the Texas Rangers with 79. And just because anything can happen, let's throw the Guardians in there at 78 wins. So we have four more wins than the Guardians. And you got the Astros and the, you know, the Rangers capable of leapfrogging us. I don't love it. And I just, this offense is just so putrid. The pitching is good. I mean, Bayo didn't look spectacular this weekend, but he wasn't terrible. Giolito didn't look spectacular, also wasn't terrible. But man, it's uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable. And Oakland's hot right now with their bats. They've lost maybe one game at the most since we played them.
If we don't win the Athletics series, these young guys are going to tighten up and everything's on the table, including just a complete failure to end the season and missing the playoffs. You got to go find a way to win this series. You got to play confident baseball. I sure hope they do. I don't know what to expect, to be honest with you. But this is really their last team that they should be expected to go take care of. So if they don't, again, the same issue why I want them to be in the postseason, Chris, right? I want them to get that experience. But that same issue on the other side is if they don't go and beat the Athletics, they're going to pucker up and be too tight. I would be shocked if they lost the Oakland series, Athletic series, and then go finish strong down the stretch. That would not be my expectation.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it, but I also wouldn't be shocked if that's exactly what happened because this team has been so Jekyll and Hyde. It looks like Texas has the lead. Toronto has tied the game against Tampa Bay. But let me ask you guys a question because I saw something that Randy posted that had me thinking. So I'm not saying we're not going to make the playoffs. I think all of us were above 50%, even Terry at 58%. Let's assume somehow they don't make the playoffs. What do you think happens with this team? Like what's the major change, if any at all?
I don't think there'd be a major change as far as Breslow and Cora. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's what I lean. I don't have strong feelings on that. I think the major change comes with Breslow hiring a general manager who will likely just be a puppet, but some sort of complementary personality, which will be pitched to us by Sam Kennedy as rounding out the leadership team. I don't expect anything crazy to happen.
Out of those two, though, if one was more likely to go, who would you say is more likely?
Cora, 100% Cora. He's going to be scapegoated. Remember, Breslow's had, in my opinion, from John Henry's perspective, a successful season. He dumped the Devers. He got the Devers contract completely off the books. He signed Roman Anthony. He went and got Crochet. Like he's doing what ownership wants him to do. He's avoiding veteran big contracts. He got rid of the only one we did have. Like Breslow's doing the job from John Henry's perspective. They've had a successful season. Ratings are up. The ballpark's full. John Henry's back making money on this particular asset. From John Henry's perspective, this is a winning club from a financial perspective. So I think the easy play is to dump Cora and say that he didn't manage the personalities in the youth down the stretch, which I think is nonsense.
It's an interesting question. If they fire Breslow, I think Cora's gone too. I don't think anyone else is going to take the job unless they can bring in their own manager. I don't think you can fire Cora because how many fire Cora hashtags have you seen? It's gone away since early July. You don't see, it's not a regular thing anymore on social media, on the Boston radio stations. It's just not a thing.
Well, to be fair, Terry, if they miss the playoffs, it will be.
I think it falls back on Breslow. So the decision is, do you keep Breslow or do you not? And he's just not a popular guy. He's not a popular guy. He botched the trade deadline. Nobody praised his performance again at the trade deadline. He arguably didn't do anything to help the team after opening day. He traded Devers, got trash back. I mean, if you don't trade for Kyle Hicks, maybe, or Jordan Hicks rather, arguably maybe you get three more wins than you do right now. And it's a different ball game. So we didn't add a single bat. You got eaten up off the Worcester roster. I mean, that's your upgrade, if you want to call it that. You know, pitching, he hasn't really done anything. So I don't think, and here's another thing that nobody's talking about before I hand it back to you guys. Last week, according to FanGraphs, 95% chance to make the playoffs. If you blow it, massive firestorm. So I think anything is on the table as far as Breslow goes.
Chris, before you go, so Terry, I think you're looking at it from a fan's perspective, and I don't disagree with anything you've said. I just think that the idea that John Henry's looking at it from a fan's perspective is dead and gone and has been for 5 or 6 years. He's looking at it, and my take is based on the fact that he looks at the Red Sox as an asset in his portfolio, and that asset is appreciated this year with the way they've performed from a monetary standpoint. I agree with everything you've said. We've covered all that. And it, by the way, if this team was deeper, if they made acquisitions at the trade deadline, the injuries wouldn't have the sting that they have right now. There would be a bat. Some, not to replace Roman Anthony completely, but there'd be a bat there. He just goes away and there's no production to fill that spot. So I agree. I just think he's, you know, Henry is just not a fan anymore.
So I agree with both of you for the exact reasons you just said, Jeremy. I think from the ownership front office perspective, I think they're ecstatic with Breslow for every reason you just said. Terry, I agree with you from a fan perspective of why he should be the more logical person to go. So what I'll say is that if they miss the playoffs, the most Red Soxian, I just made that up, thing that would happen is they'll get rid of Breslow because he'll be the sacrificial lamb. But Henry's so damn cheap that he doesn't want to lose out on the Cora money, so he just puts him in that position so we don't have to eat that money as well. So he'll just fire Breslow and then put Cora in his position and get us a new manager.
Well, the other thing that, you know, I've kind of weighed in my head is there were reports that most of the front office does not like Craig Breslow. They don't like him. There was a Bob Nightingale report saying other executives around the league find Craig Breslow hard to deal with. So I don't know how, but like I said, I was going to say, I don't know how Cora feels about him, but I really feel like he's out too. So maybe by default, Cora has to like him, but I don't think he has any friends in there. And then with the comments from Breslow a handful of days ago that maybe he's going to finally hire that GM. I gave this take in the last couple of times I've been on, who wants to work for Craig Breslow? Nobody likes him. He's the smartest guy in the room, and what does he have to show for it? Nothing. He's got a trash roster that has overachieved and, quite frankly, bailed his ass out. And I don't know. So I think I'm being fairly realistic here that I would say 50%. If you miss the playoffs, 50% chance Breslow goes, and I think that's pretty high.
Yeah, I still don't think either of them go at this point. I mean, obviously, I don't feel strongly about it. I just think that it's a good point. Like, Henry's become a penny counter, and he's not going to want to owe Cora $15 million to go manage somebody else. So for that perspective, you know, I get that as well. They're both going to be here. Also, I'd like to think that the Sox find a way to be at least 500 down the stretch and get in the playoffs. And we're not talking about this, but everything is on the table.
Well, there is a guy named Doug Aitchison. Hope I got it right. He would be the GM for Breslow.
You refuse to learn his last name. I'm sorry. Entertaining.
Dougie would take that job in a heartbeat, but I agree with Tara. I don't know. Outside of Dougie, I don't know. There's many people that would want that job. But
I'll take it for a seven-figure salary and a season-long front row behind the dugout. I'll do it.
Right now, I pay the Red Sox, so if they would pay me anything, I guess I would take it at this point. But I just feel like you can't miss the playoffs as many times as they have. And to your point, Terry, be like a 95% chance at making the playoffs with 2.5 weeks to go, and then you don't. I feel like someone's going to lose their job.
This isn't going to quite be the magnitude of the 2011 collapse, because that team was a wagon. And, you know, that's why that collapse was so epic, you know, and this team's injured and just kind of has a bunch of average players that work in platoons and this and that. But at least temporarily, if we miss the playoffs, at least temporarily, it will feel just as bad. The initial shock of missing will have a massive impact.
See, it won't be as shocking as 2011. I agree with you there. I'll make the argument it'll be worse, because 2011, you were not nearly as far removed from a World Series. There was hope that team could still be good, or at least that core could still be good, even coming off of that albatross situation. We're now in a new era of Red Sox baseball where it's clear ownership doesn't care about winning the way that they once did. We didn't know that back then, that was going to be our future. And we've missed the playoffs now 4 out of the last 5 years. And if you remove 2021, it's been a hell of a lot longer. There's a pretty heavy frustration in Red Sox Nation right now with this team. I don't think it'll be as shocking. So I agree with you there. But I think the long-term effect, if there's not change or some sort of bright future, yeah, and you can't even say Roman Anthony and Mayer at this point, because we already had that flash. And it didn't get us to where we wanted to. I get unfortunate things happen, but that's the reality of baseball and these two individuals at this point. So I agree with you somewhat, but I do think that it could actually have the potential of being more disappointing, not as shocking.
I mean, for me, this team going into July, I was just broken over how bad they were playing. They didn't look like a functional big league team, certainly not a team that would be consistent enough to get in the playoffs. And for them to have played like they did in July and carried it through essentially to this week of the season, you know, it wouldn't be as bad in my position, in my brain, because I spent such a large portion of the season expecting it. And really it's that simple for me. And also, this team is still so young, so inexperienced. The guys that you're leaning on, like Crochet, is an ace. He pitched on a 44 win White Sox team last year. You know, I always, for the far majority of this year, I looked at 2026 as the year they were going to ascend.
I just don't know. It's it's just been an enduring decade, you know, the whole 2020s, and you know, and then are we going to sign anybody this winter as far as the rotation goes? Because easily they could be like, well, you know, you got Crochet, you got Bayo, you've got Dobbins, you got Tolley, you got Early. I'm probably forgetting one guy in there. Oh, Tanner Houck will be the, you know, he'll hold up the, oh, we're getting better after the All-Star break narrative. That'll be back. And then you could be getting, oh, we're going to have Tristan back. He's finally going to give you that full season at first. And Meyer's your third baseman because we didn't want to sign Bregman again. It's just so crazy. And there's no reason to believe that Breslow or just the organization in general is going to figure it out this winter.
Yeah, I don't know about them figuring it out. There's a part of me wants to say that I couldn't see them doing nothing for the sheer fact that they did not do anything last offseason. They went out and got Crochet, and they're strolling back with the same team that couldn't get through the finish line. If they don't, would be maddening. But the sad part is, Terry, everything you just said, I can't even argue with it because I see that reality where the Sox, you know, after a year of actually making moves, come back and they try and be like, oh yeah, look at all these guys. Roman Anthony, he's coming back healthy. Mayer, if only we had him, we would have made the playoffs. Oh my gosh, forgot about Tanner Houck. Forget it. We could have been in the World Series. And oh, if we have to deal with an offseason like that, I don't know how many more we could stomach.
Yeah, they're going to handle the offseason, in my opinion, the same way they've handled the deadline in the past. When we're getting guys back on the other side of the deadline, and it's like, well, you know, I know we didn't make any moves, but like you mentioned, Chris, Tanner Houck's going to come back. Roman Anthony's coming back, you know, Marcelo Meyer's coming back. And while we didn't really add to the roster by getting these guys back, we're expecting to be better. It's absolute nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. And you have to have depth behind guys that have an injury history. So there has to be moves. There has to be balance to the lineup. You know, assuming Bregman stays, I still think you need a right-handed at bat at first base. So, I mean, yeah, I expect the same. Certainly they're not going to go spend $300 million on a veteran superstar. They're not going to do that.
Guys, this is getting too morbid. I think maybe we shift gears. I got another question for you. Let's try and be a little bit more positive. Out of the three guys, Bregman, Giolito, and Story, who's most likely to opt out?
Giolito. And he's at 136 innings right now. And so one more start of 4 1/3 inning. Or even four. Yeah, four innings total gets him the ability to opt out.
So you say Giolito. Who do you think, Jeremy?
I think Bregman's crazy to turn down that money. I don't think he's going to get the deal he wants. So I think he's going to test the market, or his agent is, and he's going to stay. I don't think there's going to be a market for Story beyond the 2 years, $50 million plus a club option. I don't think there's going to be a better deal. I don't think the rest of Major League Baseball, again, there's always one dumb team, but I don't think the rest of Major League Baseball is going to look past his extensive injury history. So I agree. I think it's Giolito. He's now, you know, coming off a full year of the arm injury. He's obviously proven that he can pitch at a high level, and I would expect for him to go maximize his value while he's healthy and not, you know, on the other side of the hill.
Now, wait, do you think Bregman's going to opt out, test the market, and then ultimately sign with us, or quietly test the market?
No, he'll have to do this. He'll have 10 days or so. Maybe it's 10 or 14 days to decide whether you're going to opt out. So Boris will be working the phones.
That's what I'm saying.
He already has. The comment 10 days ago that he plans to opt out, I said it in the moment. It seemed out of character for the player. I think that was an agent-driven leak to Passan or whoever. And I think that's Boris, frankly, doing his job to go get the phone to ring and see what teams – interest is and where they think the money will lie. I think he's already done some of that. And I think that 10-day window will obviously be a busy time for that. But that sort of information seeking from other clubs is already going on.
Well, I think also, though, it might have been a ploy to get the Red Sox to maybe panic and then
100%.
Try to make a deal there. I think that was probably the biggest part of it. But we'll see. I mean, it is going to be the elephant in the room story, after the World Series. And I'll say this about Story real quick. He's got $55 million on the books. So if he opts out of that at like 33 years old, what is he really worth? I mean, 4 years, $60 million, that would be 15 per. The math doesn't work out. I think he has to opt in.
Yeah, Story to me is the least likely to opt out. Giolito at face value, based off of their seasons and the money that's involved, if I'm looking at it like that, I say is the most likely. But if I'm looking at sample size, which I tend to do more so than anything, I think Bregman's the most likely, because when you look at, obviously, the injury history with Story, age, all those factors, I don't see it. Giolito, if he didn't come off that major injury prior and he just had some off seasons, came here and then revitalized his career and was having the season like he was this year, I would say it's a no-brainer, he's the guy. But I still think that injury, age, there could be some teams out there, and he's not going to nearly command, relatively speaking, the money that Bregman would. But I also think that Bregman, like the name, is going to carry more cachet in wanting to throw money at him. And he also has, I think, potentially more suitors, because he had a lot of suitors before he came to the Sox. And I think that list could only potentially grow depending on how things shake out in these playoffs.
I think Giolito will be hoping to stay in Boston. I think that's what he ultimately wants. But, this might be his last good chance to get that big free agent deal, after having gone through his rookie deal and his, the arbitration process and all that. And so I just think Breslow is very likely to obsess about the dollar amount, and then the Padres will sign him like they did with Pivetta. Somebody will sign him. Dombrowski will get him. He's going to be a very attractive option. And last I checked, I don't think there's a ton of arms on the market this winter. It's not going to be starting pitching heavy like this last winter was.
Well, the Dodgers always need pitchers, so I'm sure they'll probably sign them. They've got some spots open. Minnesota. I mean, the Yankees are pulling a Sox here and getting their butt kicked by the Twins.
Sixth spot, but they'll have two more games. I don't think the Yankees have a lot to worry about. And Houston, I mean, they got an injury problem, and I think they have a culture problem. A couple weeks ago with Framber Valdez plunking his own catcher. So I think they got a lot of problems there, but... Any final thoughts?
Go Sox.
Help us.
We will be back tomorrow. Game one of the Oakland series. Connolly Early starts it. I think Jeffrey Springs is who he's opposing, last I checked. So should be a fun matchup. I expect Springs to be better. So the intriguing story is, does Early have a good second outing, or does Oakland adjust and approach him a little differently? But we'll be back to cover it tomorrow night. Everyone have a good rest of your Monday. Take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.